Let's go to the Word of God. I want to teach tonight from this topic, resurrection, restrictions removed. Resurrection, restrictions removed. Because of the resurrection, restrictions are removed. The first passage I want to read is in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, starts a long sentence, but this is what it says. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 4, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Restrictions removed. You know, in most of our pulpits and gatherings, as a people of the African-American persuasion, after we shout bright early Sunday morning, he got up with all powers in his hand. That's it. That's the summation, and that's the conclusion of our resurrection rhetoric. Bright early Sunday morning. But can I tell you that we are stopping much too soon? As you've heard over the course of these past several Sundays I've preached and Wednesdays I've taught since Easter, the experience continues. It's not even a to be continued. It's more like an unceasing, ever abiding experience. Please believe me, children of God. When the Heavenly Father got Jesus up on that first day of the week, that's why the Christian Sabbath is switched from honoring his creation on Saturday to honoring his new creation on Sunday. When God got Jesus up on that first day of the week, it started a never ceasing unveiling of new realities for the saved life. Ephesians speaks of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he, God the Father, raised him, Jesus, from the dead. Now he has given that same resurrection power to us. It says so in Ephesians 2 and 5. We have been quickened. He quickened us. Quickened in the King James NIV says, made alive, vitalized us co-jointly. The same power God used to get Jesus up, he's given us that power, and now we are together with Christ. Verse 6 says, hath raised us up together, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Eternally, we are positioned with Christ Jesus already in heaven. Nobody has to save a seat for you. That's a cute song. Nor do you get to choose a seat and sit down. That's a cute song. Because your place is already reserved for you, according to 1 Peter 1 and 3 and 4. Listen to what Peter says. Peter says in chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, praise God, Father of Jesus, Lord Jesus, in his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, reserved. We are already raised eternally, positionally with Christ Jesus. Eternally and positionally. Now, we're still on earth. So, that's practically and experientially. Big words tonight. Eternally and positionally, we're already seated in heaven. But practically and experientially, we're still on earth. Quit telling people that you cannot be in two places at the same time, because you are. So just for a few more Sundays and Wednesdays, I want to push this proclamation that this is the best life because resurrection removes restrictions. I learned in seminary about the law of first mention. It respects and reflects the orderliness of our God. He does nothing randomly. It's always purposely with an aim to tell us something about himself and his will for our lives. So it's always essential to view the first mentions of scriptural truths. What, when, who, and where. After the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the grave, his first, somebody say first, appearance was to the women. His first one. Please never forget, the women are first to see him and first to witness to others about his resurrection. So I want to ask a question. Why do we continue consuming precious teaching, training, equipping, evangelizing, and preaching time, debating the validity of women in ministry? That has to irritate God, who orders persons in the sequence he chooses. If he wanted men to get to the tomb first and see him, talk to him, touch to him, and receive a message from him, Don't you know he would have ordered it that way? But he did not. I believe his appearance to the women first is a declaration of removed restrictions. Society continues to place ceilings, boundaries, and limits on the female factor. Resurrection, however, reminds us not to do it. If God didn't do it, then we shouldn't do it. If God didn't do it, then we shouldn't do it. God calls women because he trusts them to deliver the message. Does that mean he does not trust the men? I'm not saying that. I'm just declaring what the Bible says. In further reading, the resurrection Lord did not have to work as hard or as long on the women's belief as he did on the men. You never read where the Lord Jesus Christ, after resurrection, had to encounter and confront a woman's hesitancy. The men wanted proof. Women followed their passion. It's said that women tend to have a nurturing and emotional bond of connection, and men are more logic-driven. This coincides with a myth started in the 1960s of a left-brain, right-brain phenomenon, that the brain has two halves, and each half is responsible for certain specified non-transferable functions. Now, it has not ever been proven, but it's worth mentioning. It's called a neural myth that one gender is left-brained and the other is right-brained. So it said, not proven, that men are more left-brained. They're logical facts, thinking in words. Women are right-brained, imagination, intuition, feelings, visualizing. So Thomas, left-brained, asks for proof. And Peter and John, left-brained, run to the tomb to see for themselves. And we are told that it was not until after his resurrection that his brethren, left-brained, believed in him. I think Jesus said it without saying it. Forget about all this neural myth. I think Jesus said it without saying it. Leave the women alone. If we are not pro-women in preaching, then we are anti-resurrection. If we're not pro-women in preaching, then we are anti-Christ. That almost sounds like antichrist. So his resurrection removes gender, ministry, societal restrictions. Imagine now, if we would encourage and equip all, male or female, who have callings and passions to do ministry, imagine how the gospel would be spread all over the world. On that Sunday morning, the Lord did not wait around for a man. Brothers, we came. But the Lord did not hold up his post-resurrection program for us to become bold and get over the jitters. The next restriction I wish to address has to do with the 40 days he continued on earth before going back to heaven. First Corinthians 15, verse 5 and 6, it says, Peter saw him, the 12 saw him. Then after that, he was seen, and don't miss it, by over 500 brethren at the same time. We read about Peter's meeting and that about the apostles who were in the locked room and the two on the Emmaus Road. But it's this third group, over 500, who saw him at the same time. That does not infer they were in the same place, but they all got a chance to see him. John 20:19 talks about he appeared behind the locked doors. John 20:25, 8 days later, when Thomas finally arrives, he appeared the same way, the doors being shut. He stood in the midst. Then again in John 21, on the Sea of Tiberias, where some of the fellas had decided to go fishing and caught nothing, he showed up on the shore, took them out, and showed them where to throw their nets. And later, he sat around the campfire, and they had a fish fry. Excuse me. They had a fish broil, and he spent time fellowshipping with them. John 21:14. It's these appearances to over 500 more that's so revealing. It says, and hear me good, that Jesus was able to be in multiple places at the same time. The resurrected Lord appears in a lot of places at the same time. That in his resurrection body, he was not restricted to location and space of the human body. We're only able to be now in the flesh, one place at one time. I cannot be at Freedom and at home simultaneously. But the Lord Jesus Christ is in a resurrection body, and he doesn't have problems with appearing in multiple places at the same time. But wait a minute. We are the body of this resurrected Christ. We are members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does that say? It says this. We are not to restrict ourselves. We're not to restrict ourselves. The church ought to be everywhere at the same time. I think we have it so wrong. We build our beautiful facilities almost like we're having a building contest. We offer consumer amenities, parking, babysitting services, cafe, words on the screen, luring the consumer to try us out. At some churches, they even have a pet section. Can I remind us of our marching orders? If the resurrected Lord made all of those appearances to all of those people in 40 days without social media, TV, internet, cafes, microphones, marketing, logos, or cuddling conveniences, Shouldn't we be doing more now since we are the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ? I can further ruffle a few feathers tonight. Think about it. Does the Lord really need a mega church of 5,000? Or could his purposes be better served with the mega being divided up into multiples to be in more places at one time? Could 20 congregations of 250 or 10 congregations of 500 or 40 congregations of 125 make a greater impact than one mega congregation of 5,000? Just something to think about. Because remember, Jesus appeared to many in many places at the same time. Resurrection removes restrictions. The restriction of gender and the restriction put on the gospel. So my appeal to us tonight is simply this. Let's stop restricting ourselves. Stop restricting yourself. Stop allowing folk to put the cuffs on you. Resurrection removes restrictions. This is the word of faith which I teach tonight. Glory to his name.